The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is presented to us in John's Gospel by the means of seven signs. First six signs of which are presented to us in the first 12 chapters of John's Gospel, and the last sign of which is presented in the last chapters as we read of the account of Christ's resurrection following his death. But following the sixth sign, and leading up to the seventh sign, in chapters 13 through 17, Christ prepares his disciples for his impending betrayal, his death, his resurrection, and his leaving this world to return to his Father to prepare a place for them where they would one day follow him. And then towards the end of John's Gospel, we read the actual accounts of his betrayal in the garden, his being handed over to the Jews and then to the Romans, his trial and his crucifixion. And then following that, as I've said, the seventh sign is his resurrection. John presents the divinity of Christ. He is the Son of Man, yes, but he is the Son of God. And constantly Christ refers to himself in such a light and speaks of his union with his Father. But when the disciples hear that Christ would be betrayed and that he would leave them, as you can imagine, their hearts were troubled. They were sorrowful. This one whom they had lived with for several years, who had taught them, who had comforted them, who had led them, who they believed was the Messiah, their Saviour, was now telling them that he would be crucified, that he would leave them, that he would depart. And in the beginning of John chapter 14, Christ says unto them in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him." In verse 16, Christ comforts his disciples by giving them this promise: "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." Yes, he says, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." The Spirit of truth. Well, as I said, you can imagine the disciples' sorrow when Christ says that he will leave them. But here he comforts them with the fact that he will send them another Comforter. Christ was a Comforter. It's not that there is only one Comforter. Christ was their comfort when he was with them. And Christ revealed the Father unto them, as he has said, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. For he and his Father are one." They had the comfort of Christ, and through him they had the comfort of the Father. But here he tells them that he is about to depart from them, but that they should not sorrow. "Let not your hearts be troubled, for he will pray the Father, and he shall give them another comforter, even the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. In Hebrews we read of Christ that Christ says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The disciples here may have felt that Christ was leaving them and forsaking them when they needed him. But in sending them the Spirit, he was not leaving them. For in the Spirit who would dwell within them, so too Christ would dwell within them. And though absent bodily, in reality he would be nearer to the disciples in the Spirit than he ever actually was in the flesh. They beheld him in the days of his flesh with the outer eye. But it's quite another beholding to behold Christ in the heart, in the Spirit, with the eye of faith. You may live today and say, oh, if I had been in the days of Christ like the disciples, if I had seen his miracles, if I had walked with him, if I had heard his teaching, if I had been there then 2,000 years ago, oh, if I had seen, oh, I would believe on Christ. But he's not here now, I can't see him. Where is he? If I could just see him. But the reality is that in the gospel, through the sending of the Spirit, through the revelation of the Father and to the gaze of faith, Christ is nearer now by his Spirit than he ever was in the flesh. They saw him in the flesh. They heard his speech with the outer ear. But many saw him in the flesh, and many heard his speech in the outer ear, with the outer ear, who perished, who this day are in hell. Many, many saw his miracles. Many made a profession of belief on Christ when he was in this world. And at the last they deserted him. At the last they turned away from him. They heard his words. And when those words got a bit too close, when his teaching became a bit too narrow, a bit too cutting, when his words called for a bit too much separation and too much hardship to follow him, they departed. Many saw him in the flesh, but few believed. Today you may say, I'm at a disadvantage, I cannot see him in the flesh. But I say unto you, in the gospel, should the Spirit reveal Christ unto you, you are at an advantage. For even these 12 disciples with Christ needed the Spirit to come, and they needed true faith to be quickened within their hearts, if ever they would enter glory. And if ever they would go where Christ went, they needed the Spirit of truth. And you need the Spirit of truth. At the last hour, when Christ was betrayed by one of the 12, all men deserted him. All deserted him. Christ tells his disciples in chapter 13 of John that one would betray him. And this troubled the disciples. They said, Lord, who is it? Is it I? Peter says unto Christ, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee? I will lay down my life for thy sake. But Jesus answered even unto Peter, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Yes, all men, in the hour of Christ's greatest need, when he was nailed to a tree to lay down his life for sinners, deserted him. They deserted him. What comfort did the Saviour know in the depths of his sorrow? What help did his disciples give him? Where were they when he needed them? They all fled. They were all scared. They were all fearful. The sin which dwells in their hearts had such a power on them that even if they wanted to be with Christ, as Peter did, his sentiment here that he would lay down his life for Christ's sake, I believe, was a true sentiment of Peter's heart in the spirit. But the flesh was too much for him at the end. Though he would try to be with Christ, circumstances would prevent it, and he would end up denying him. Christ suffered upon the cross alone. His Father laid on him the sins of all his people. He was made to be sin. The Father forsook his own Son because of what he had become upon the cross. He poured out his wrath upon him in furious anger against the sins of his people, which Christ bore. He beat his own Son as the sinner. He looked upon him as though he was the one who committed all those sins, though he was the one, the only one, who had known no sin, who was without sin, who had never sinned. Yet in that hour, when the light of the sun was taken away, and when God's wrath was outpoured upon his only begotten Son, God's anger was upon his Son, and he beat him. Oh, what comfort did he know? And yet this one, who went through so much for his people, who went through so much for those he loved even unto the end, even though they deserted him at the end, he still loved them. As we read in 13 and verse 1, he loved them unto the end. This one who did so much for his own, and who knew so little comfort in his hour of need, said unto his own before that hour, that though I will go and depart from you, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you in the Spirit. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more with the outer eyes, but ye see me with the eyes of faith. Because I live, you will live also. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Yes, he prayed that the Father would send him a Comforter. Though he died, though he ascended up unto the Father, though he would no longer be with his disciples in the flesh, he never left them, for the Spirit was sent. And in the Spirit he came in his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of truth. And in their hearts he would dwell forevermore, with a nearness and a union unlike anything they had ever known. What do you know of this? What do you know of this? What do you know of this Comforter, the Spirit of truth? Has Christ sent him unto you? Can you say that you see Christ, even though he isn't here? in the flesh? Have you beheld him with the eyes of faith? Has the Spirit come unto you? What do you know of this Comforter and his comfort? Who is this who Christ sent? Well, firstly, he is a person. He did not send them some influence. He did not send them some comfort as an abstract thing. The Spirit is not a mere influence. The Spirit is not an it, though many speak of him as an it, who know him not. Now, the Spirit is a person. He is the Comforter, the Spirit of truth. He is God, as much God as Christ is God and as the Father is God. Co-equal with the Father, co-equal with the Son. He is the Spirit of truth, God Almighty. He is a person. He is sent unto Christ's disciples. Christ prays the Father that he would give them another Comforter. And he is sent unto them to abide with them forever. Forever. If the Spirit comes unto you, and if he comes to abide with you, he will never leave you. He will never leave you. To whom is he sent? He is not sent unto all. Another Comforter who will abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, he's not sent unto all. He's sent unto those to whom Christ sends him. He's sent unto Christ's disciples. He's sent unto God's people. He's sent unto the sheep and not the goats. He's not sent to the world. The world don't receive him. They cannot receive him. They cannot see him. They do not know him. He does not dwell in them. He's not in them. But he is sent unto the sheep. He is sent unto the disciples. He is sent unto those who sorrow that Christ himself has departed. He is sent unto those who know that they need Christ, who know that they want Christ, who know that they are lost without Christ. He is sent unto sinners that know they're sinners. He is sent unto those who have heard the alarm of the gospel, that because of their sin that they will face destruction in the last day, except one deliver them. He is sent unto those who, so convicted of their sin, cry out unto the Lord to save. Is that you? Can you say that in your heart there dwelleth no good thing? That you are through and through blackness, darkness, sin? That you are a leper by nature from head to toe? Can you say that freely and openly? Or are you kicking against it? If I should say to you plainly today, sir, woman, man, child, you are a sinner. You are guilty before a holy God. There is nothing good in you. Do you rise up in anger against me? Or do you freely accept, yes, I know, it is true. What you say is true. There is no good in me. I know it. What you say is the truth and I need help. I know God would be just to condemn me. I need salvation. I need my sins to be taken away. I cannot make myself good. There's no good in me. Can you say that? And do you say it freely? Or do you kick against it? Do your teeth clench? Do you grit your teeth and say, not me? Surely there's good in every one of us. Well, if you're of the latter camp, then I tell you plainly that you're of one of those in the world who cannot receive the Spirit of truth, because you see him not, neither know him. He is not with you, and he is not in you. But if you've been given a heart to call out unto Christ, to call out unto God, to cry out for mercy as a guilty and as a wretched sinner, if your heart is troubled, if you know that left to yourself you will be left to destruction, then I have good news. For Christ has said of all these taught of God, all these taught their need of God, he has said of these, he said of you, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Yes, he sent to his own. He sent to sinners. He sent to sinners that know they're sinners, to those whom he opens their eyes to show them who they are, what they are, and who he is. What he is, what he has done to save sinners such as them, to save sinners such as you. He sends a comforter, one who brings comfort unto his own, one who brings comfort, consolation, peace, joy, salvation, one who doesn't come to condemn, for the condemnation has had its time. They're already condemned. The law has already rung out its condemnation over their head. They already know they're guilty. The law has already sounded out its sentence, its verdict. They're already condemned. No, this one comes. The Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, comes not to condemn, but to justify. Not to condemn, but to save. Not to bring condemnation, but to comfort. Not to find fault, but to bring consolation. He's a comforter. Do you know his comfort? A comforter. He brings comfort, he brings refuge. What comfort does he bring? What do you know of his comfort? What comfort does he bring? Firstly, he brings Christ. He brings Christ. These disciples were troubled, for Christ in the flesh was about to leave them. Their hearts were troubled for the one whom they loved, the one in whom they hoped, the one in whom they hoped they would find salvation, the one whom they hoped would take their sins away, the one whom they hoped would bring them to God, the one whom they hoped would bring them everlasting joy and peace and salvation, the one in whom they hoped, the one whom they loved would soon leave. And yet he sends them the Spirit. Not just to leave them with the Spirit, but by whom he would come again unto them. Firstly, the Spirit brings Christ. If you know the Spirit, then you will know Christ. If the Spirit has come unto you, then he's come unto you to reveal the Son of God unto you as your Saviour, as the one who laid down his life in your place, as the one who shed his blood to wash you clean. Yes, he brings the knowledge of Christ unto his people. There's no greater comfort than to be found in Christ. There's no greater comfort than to know Christ. There's no greater comfort than to know Christ has washed your sins away. There's no greater comfort than to know that your sins are forgiven because Christ's blood has washed them out of sight. There's no greater comfort than to be found in Christ. There's no greater comfort than to be in Christ. There's no greater comfort than to be united with Christ. There's no greater comfort than Christ. Do you know Christ? Is he your Saviour this day, this hour? You may say, well, I've read the scriptures, I've heard the gospel. I want to believe in him. I think I believe in him. I believe what the scriptures say. I believe what I've heard, that Christ died on the cross. I know that's true. I'm sure he rose again. I'm sure God judged the sins of his people in Christ. I'm sure he did. But do you know that he judged your sins in Christ upon the cross? Has that blood been sprinkled in your heart? Many make a claim to believe the gospel, but it's all external. They look upon the word of God with the outer eye. They hear it with the outer ear. They assent to the truth of these things. They hope they may be true of them. But there's never been a change within. Their hearts are just as dark as they always were. You ask them, when were you saved? And they say, well, I don't really know. Sometime, I hope so. You ask them, can you say that there was a time when you were blind, but now you see? And they may say, well, I think I was blind. I hope I see. I certainly believe in Jesus. I accepted him. But were your blind eyes opened? Did Christ touch them and make you see? Did you hear his voice sounding within by his Spirit? Did light shine into the darkness of your dead heart? Either it did or it didn't. Does he dwell in your heart by his Spirit? For all who know him, all who are his, all who will enter glory, can say of a truth, once I was blind, but now I see. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is in them. He dwells in them by his Spirit. They don't just look upon these things with the outer eye, but they have faith which is given to them by the Spirit. Live in faith. God-given faith. A precious gift of faith, something they never had by nature, something they could never produce, something which God had to put within them. Christ has come unto them as blind men on the wayside, and he has anointed their eyes with clay and caused them to wash and opened the blind eyes to see. To see him. To see him who is the way, the truth and the life. To know him. And to know him by his Spirit. The Spirit of truth. What comfort does the Spirit bring? 1 Firstly, he brings Christ. He brings Christ in his gospel. He brings Christ in the power of his gospel. He brings Christ in the revelation of his gospel in the heart. He's made known within. His blood is sprinkled upon the conscience. Forgiveness of sins is made known within. He testifies of Christ. The Spirit, the Comforter, he makes known Christ. Secondly, he makes known the truth. He is the Spirit of truth. Christ is only made known in the truth, for Christ is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way unto God, and there's no life except it comes by the truth. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He testifies of the truth in truth. He speaks the truth. He is the Spirit of truth. And he brings comfort in the truth. There's no comfort in lies. There's no comfort in error. There's only comfort in the truth. There's only comfort in Christ. There's only comfort in the gospel. And there's only comfort in the truth of the gospel. If you're found believing a lie, if you're found believing another gospel, a false gospel, a gospel riddled with errors, you'll find no comfort for your soul. It may feed your mind. It may satisfy your flesh. It may satisfy your own pride and your own vanity. It may delude you to thinking that you've got life in this world and life in the next. That you can eat, drink and be merry with your so-called modern, contemporary, easy believism gospel. You may think that you just accept Jesus and you can have such fun and such joy in this world. He wants you to have everything in this world and to have it aplenty. Just live as you always lived. But tag on Jesus on the end and you'll get into heaven. That may suit your vanity of mind. It may allow you to indulge your flesh. It may give you that assurance you need that all will be well in the end. But I tell you, it's a pack of lies. And it will bring you into destruction. For you either turn from your sin and flee unto the one that can deliver you from sin. Flee unto the one who brings salvation by his will, by his way, by his work upon the cross, or you will perish with the tatters of your own self-righteousness and the tatters of your own decisions for Christ and the tatters of your false gospel and the tatters of your lies and your refuge of lies, in which there is no comfort at all. It may comfort you for a few years upon this world in its delusion, but it will leave you in everlasting ruin. Oh no, the Spirit doesn't bring such comfort. The Spirit doesn't bring lies. He is the Spirit of truth, and he only speaks the truth. The only gospel he brings is the gospel of truth. The only gospel he brings is that gospel which John testifies in this gospel, in his gospel here. The only gospel the Spirit brings is that which testifies of Christ the Son of God, of the one that calls a people unto himself, of the one that died for those whom the Father gave him, of the one that died for the sheep and not the goats, of the one that laid down his life for his own, of the one who calls his own. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, he says. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, only speaks, only declares the gospel in truth. What gospel have you heard? What gospel do you find comfort in? The Spirit brings comfort in the truth, and in the truth of the gospel, and the gospel alone. There's only comfort in the truth. There's not comfort in this world, neither in the increase of riches or pleasure in this world. There may be a temporary passing comfort in these things. We live in this world. The Lord gives us many things in this world. He feeds us, he clothes us, he comforts us with temporary things. But don't think that you'll find true everlasting comfort in these things. They perish with you when you go into the grave. There's nothing lasting in them. The riches of this world promise much but bring little. The comfort which the Spirit brings is in the truth, in the gospel, and in Christ. Yes, the Comforter comes unto his own. He comes unto the sheep, and he brings that people unto Christ. He saves. His comfort is in salvation. He quickens dead sinners from the deadness of their trespasses of sin. They are dead in trespasses and sins. He comes unto these and brings them to life. He brings them to life. He brings life unto such a people. There's comfort in eternal life. And eternal life is only found in Jesus Christ. Do you live, or are you dead? What is the life which you have today? Is it that life which lasts but 70 years or so and then fades away and takes you into the grave? Or is it that which had no beginning and has no end? Eternal life, everlasting life. The Spirit of truth brings comfort in the gospel. He brings comfort in the preaching of righteousness in the gospel. Like Noah of old, he is a preacher of righteousness. Noah was sent unto a wicked generation. He was raised up in the midst of a wicked generation. And he was moved to the building of an ark to flee from the destruction which God had said would come. And as he built that ark, in word and in figure, he preached righteousness unto the people round about. And that message of righteousness, which was pictured by the ark, which was a picture of the gospel and a picture of Christ, brought comfort unto Noah and his house. It brought comfort. For the name Noah, if you read in Genesis 5, means comfort. And his message, his preaching of righteousness, was a message of comfort. And as such, he was a figure of the Spirit who would come, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, another Comforter, who, like Noah, brings a people unto the ark and shuts them in the ark, as God shut Noah into the ark, and brings them through the waters of destruction, the waters of death, the waters of judgment, safely through the other side into everlasting life. Oh yes, the Spirit brings comfort in the gospel. The Spirit brings comfort in the truth. He brings comfort in the teaching in the gospel. As Christ says of the Spirit in chapter 14 and verse 26, he shall teach you all things. All things. He shall teach you all. He shall teach you the truth. He shall lead you into all truth. He shall reveal Christ unto you. He is sent not to testify of himself, but to testify of Christ. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Of me. He brings comfort in the truth. He brings comfort in the truth of the people's union with Christ. As Christ teaches in chapter 15 of John, he is the true vine, and his Father is the husbandman, and all his people are branches in this vine. They abide in him, and he abides in them, and through him they bring forth fruit. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Christ's people are one with him. They're united with him. They are in him and he is in them. For the Spirit is in them. And by the Spirit Christ dwells in them. And by the Spirit he comforts them. He couldn't be nearer. He couldn't be nearer. Yes, he's the Spirit. He's the Comforter. He brings comfort in the Gospel. He brings comfort in the truth of the Gospel. He brings comfort in the truth of election. That they are a people who are chosen of God out of this world. For the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. But they have received him. Why? They're no different to the world. Why have they received and others haven't? Because it pleased God to reveal his Son in them. It pleased God to send the Spirit unto them. It pleased God to elect them unto everlasting salvation. There's comfort in election. There's comfort, yes, in the Gospel, in redemption. In knowing that we are redeemed from our sins. There's comfort in knowing that sins are forgiven. There's comfort in knowing that we are reconciled with the Father. That we are at peace with the Father. There's comfort in regeneration, in being brought to life, in being brought to union with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. There's comfort in the victory of Christ. Christ says to his disciples here that he will send them another Comforter. He warns them that he will be betrayed. His death approaches. They would have been very troubled. But he tells them that he has conquered all. That he will conquer all. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I've overcome it. I've conquered it. In my death I will take away your sin. I will take away the stony heart of flesh. I will take the world out of you. I will crucify you unto the world, and you will be crucified unto the world, and the world unto you. I have overcome the world. I have overcome all your enemies. I have overcome Satan. I have overcome all those who will oppose you. You are mine. You are the sheep of my pasture in my hands, and none shall pluck you from my hands. You are mine forevermore. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And finally, there is comfort in Christ's everlasting intercession for his people during their pilgrimage in this world. Yes, he would leave them in the flesh. Yes, he would send the Spirit unto them whilst they journeyed through this world. And by the Spirit he would dwell in them. And by the Spirit he would make known the fact that he ever liveth to make intercession for his people. In chapter 17 of John we read this wonderful prayer of Christ as he prays unto the Father to keep those whom the Father has given him. I pray for them, he says, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world have hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Yes, he sends a comforter. He prays for the people. He brings them comfort in all these respects, in the gospel, in their salvation, in his victory, and in his intercession. He never leaves them. He never forsakes them. He loves his own unto the end. He will keep them to the end. If you know him this day, child of God, be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. He will keep you, even you, unto the end. For he has sent you another comforter who will never leave you, who will always be with you, and who will always bring you comfort in Christ and in his gospel. Oh, hear his prayer. Hear his prayer for you, child of God. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world have not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Praise God. Amen.